Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time on this Sunday morning. It's Wednesday when I'm over here to the Lighthouse putting the service together for Sunday, and it's a beautiful Wednesday morning, about 7 o'clock, and the lake is just beautiful. We got some fishermen out there fishing, and it's just a very nice, cool morning, and that just seems so refreshing after all the heat, but I understand the heat's coming back, so we'll just share our message for the day. I want to continue on in the Why series, and today we're asking, why trouble the teacher? This little girl had died. Why trouble the teacher? So we'll talk about that in just a few minutes, but I want to let you know I'm glad you joined me by the way of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock. And we're now streaming this broadcast by the way of WDLP.fm. Others have joined me by the way of Ionia, WIONI 1430 AM, or 92.7 FM, or over in the lower area, 100.3 FM at 8 o'clock, and I welcome you. Others have joined me by the way of Greenville, WGLM, 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both the Ionia and the Greenville station by the way of the web, and that's pretty special. Others have tuned me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. I welcome you. Those of you who are listening by the way of my website, I welcome you. My website is pastorkenharger.com. Bring your mouse up over Messages from the Lighthouse. You'll see Current Media. Click on Current Media, and the top one is the message for today. Whatever way you join me, I'm glad to have you to be with me. I need to say thank you to those that take care of the financial broadcast time. And so a big thank you to Doug and Noreen Lane from the Sheridan area. I thank you for your support. To Bell and Judy Hammond from Belding. And to Gloria Spencer, in memory and honor of her husband Spence, that was his nickname. She lives in Orleans, Michigan, and in the Shiloh Community Church, where I pastored for 50 years. We are gathering together at Shiloh Community Church on Saturday evening, 6:30, and Sunday morning is 9 o'clock, contemporary service at 10:45. And we also are gathering at our Greenville campus, which is located at the old Calvary Baptist Church. There they've been blessed to be able to gather outdoors in the parking lot for several weeks now. And that parking lot is located on the corner of Grove and LeRae Street. That service is at 11 o'clock. And a big thank you once again to K.N. Kingsinger for picking out my music. She's done such a good job for me through many years, and she's stuck faithfully with it, and I appreciate that so much. Well, before we get started for our message this morning, I need to share with you that we have a song that that I want to play to kind of set the tone for our time together. You know, this idea of what we're going to be talking about this morning is disruptions in life. We all facing disruptions in life. I think my life has been more disrupted in these last few months than I've ever can remember. Just because I used to be able to get up and go, and not all this stuff that we're having to face with today. And so we realize there's been a lot of disruptions. Sometimes we get upset and angry in disruptions. But you know, I want us to think this morning that disruptions can be a way for us to grow, especially when we think of the teacher, Jesus. And we'll be joining that. The song is entitled, Be Still and Know. Sometimes you know what we got to do. Got to have a few minutes of quiet time. I came over here ahead of a meeting that I had here at the Lighthouse the other day. And I just sat here in the quietness and just enjoyed being here at the lake. You know something, folks? God tells us, be still and know that I am God. So we'll listen to this teaching of the Bible in this song, and then I'll be right back and share the message with you. And we're looking forward to God's special blessing to be upon our lives. Here we go. God bless you.
God wants to speak. Are you gonna listen? So many blessings you don't know you're missing. Stop for a moment, be still and know. You can't hear when you're always talking. You can't rest when you're always walking. Take time out and wait, wait on the Lord. Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is God.
In that precious quiet time, you'll find strength and peace of mind.
Be still and know that He is God. Tune out the world, shut out the voices, find you a place away from the noise. Be still and find His will for your life. There in the fullness of His glory, life will become a different story. You'll never know if you never try. Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is God.
In that precious quiet time, you'll find strength and peace of mind.
Be still and know that He is God. God, be still and know that He is God.
In that precious quiet time, you'll find strength and peace of mind.
Be still and know that He is God.
In that quiet time, you'll find strength and peace of mind.
Be still and know that He is God.
Be still and know.
Beautiful truth in that song, folks. Be still and know that He is God. There's so many voices today, so much on the news today. We're living in a time of interruptions in our life, and we need to know that God really cares and that He's watching over the situation, that God is still in charge. And we get a hold of that as we look into the Word of God this morning with the realization that interruptions can be a time for growth. Growth in our individual life. Growth within our relationship with this one God who wants us to get quiet before Him. I've always used that in my life. Different times I had a cabin. I got the cabin up north, and I'd go up there. When I was hunting, I'd have quiet times. And I got to tell you, That's so valuable. We're going to listen today to the Word of God and something that He has for us. But before I do, I need to pray for you, the listening audience. You're my congregation this morning. You're the ones that I'm over here at the Lighthouse at this time in the morning for, is to share a message with you and share my concern about whatever it is that you're going through. So let's just bow for a moment of prayer. Our most kind and gracious Father, we come to you on behalf of the listening audience again this morning. All of those that's got their radio on this morning and listening to this voice, I pray, dear Father, that you would be pleased to minister to them according to their individual needs. Father, I thank you that you are a God that meets us at the point of our need, and you're able to take us from whatever we find ourselves in this morning to a place of much better experience as we walk with you. So we're going to get quiet before you this morning, and we're going to say, Father, would you be pleased to bless the listening audience, whatever it is that they're going through today, whether it is physical, financial, spiritual, emotional, rather there's some fear because of all the things that we have, rather there's some anger, so to speak, because we're being told we got to do certain things and we're not used to being told what we can do and cannot do. So, Father, we're just in a crazy time in our life right now. And so I want to pray that you just bless each one who hears my voice today, and minister to them, and minister to their family. And we'll thank you and praise you for that, in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. You know, when I was pastoring the church, I would often have a time before I did the message where I'd have a prayer time, and then just like I was doing just a moment ago, remembering the congregation in prayer, as I was remembering the listening audience in prayer. One of the things that I did during those years, which I thought was very beneficial, and others thought the same, the idea I say, you got an unspoken request? Just raise your hand for an unspoken request. I'm thinking I want to kind of do that with you, that when I ask for, if you got an unspoken request, something that's really on your heart and mind, you focus on that, and then we'll pray for that. I hope to start that next week, so we'll see what we can do, okay? Well, God bless you. Let's get started for this morning. This morning's message, interruptions can be an opportunity for growth. For our foundation for the message today, I want us to focus on Jesus, the teacher, sometimes called Rabbi, Rabboni, sometimes it's just teacher. There's many words that come to my mind and come quickly, I'm sure, to your mind if you've been walking with him, about Jesus, that he's Lord, that he's Savior, that he's the master, but that he's a redeemer. Many different things. In the Old Testament, there's many different ways God was described. At least 90 times, and out of the Gospels, 60 of those times when someone is addressing Jesus, they used about the word teacher. Jesus was born more than 2,000 years ago. A very special child who grew up to become the greatest teacher that has ever lived. And I believe that with all my heart. No one living way back then had an airplane or an automobile. There was no such things as televisions and computers and internet. Everywhere he traveled from town to town, he and his disciples walked. He taught them as they journeyed along the path from town to town. Jesus taught people everywhere he met. He taught them on the seashore. He taught them out of a boat as they were on the seashore when the crowd was so big. He taught them in the synagogue, the place of gathering. He taught them in homes. Oftentimes there was a crowd that followed him, so as he traveled from city to city, he would teach them as he walked along the way. He taught with simplicity. And people understood what he was saying. I think my favorite things is in Matthew 25 to see the simplicity of Jesus. One day Jesus was on a mountainside. Many people came to hear him. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. One day when Jesus was there on that mountainside, he sat down and he began to talk, or he gave the sermon. And he said, look at the birds. There he is outdoors. And I believe about that time, some birds went flying by. He said, look at the birds of the air of heaven. He said, don't you realize that they do not plant seed? They do not store up food in the house? But God in heaven feeds them. And then he asked this question, are you not worth more than the birds? He said, are you not worth more than the birds? We need to let that sink in. God takes care of them. He can take care of you. Have you ever looked around and seen, he says, the beauty of flowers? The beauty of flowers. Even King Solomon, who really was all out for clothes and all that kind of stuff, he dressed himself and looking pretty amazing. But you know what? King Solomon didn't look like the lily of the field. So if God takes care of the flowers that grow, will he not also take care of you? And then you know what happened is when they got, when, excuse me, I'm sorry. Still having trouble with my voice, and then all of a sudden got something caught in there. But you know, Jesus got all done teaching. And in Matthew chapter 7, 28 and 29, this is what it says. When Jesus finished talking or teaching, it was very interesting, and the people really listened to him. They said it was unlike the scribes, because Jesus taught with authority. The beauty of this great teacher. The beauty of what he wants to teach each one of us. And I believe he's going to teach us today as we look at a couple interruptions in life. That you know what? Interruptions is an opportunity for each one of us to grow in a very special way. I just had another boat go out fishing. Oh, there goes another one. We got about 8 or 10 boats out there. I'm hoping to go fishing tomorrow morning for a couple hours or an hour and a half or so. And we'll just see what happens. But anyway, I got to get back to the message. That was an interruption right there, you know, happening. That's like Jesus said, do you see the birds in the air? It just reminded me, hey, you're going to get to go fishing tomorrow. But anyway, let's get started with the interruption in this man's life. You know, as we find the interruptions, it can come in form of any age. It can come in form as we think about the different things that happen in our life. It can come in a form of something's going on in one of our children's lives. And you know, this man that we're going to talk about, he was a parent. He was the dad of a 12-year-old daughter. And the interruption in his life was she got sick. And he was afraid she was going to die. So he went looking for Jesus for help. This man was, his name was Jairus. He was a ruler of the synagogue, doesn't give us exactly what he was in charge of, and probably from the town of Capernaum. He was a very religious man. He was a married man with a 12-year-old daughter, and she was dying. Now listen to what the scripture says. Jesus again crossed to the other side of the Sea of Galilee in a boat. You know, Jesus had been on this side of the Sea of Galilee. He went over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And there he met a man that was demon-controlled. And he blessed him and cast out the demons. And the people in that town decided they didn't want Jesus to stick around. They told him, you can leave. They were kind of nervous. You can leave. So he came back over on this side of the Sea of Galilee again. And when he arrived, just as he got off from the boat, here comes this man whose daughter is dying. "My little daughter is dying," he says. "Come and lay your hands on her so that she might get well and live." And Jesus went with the man. And there was a huge crowd of people that had gathered together when he returned. And they decided to go along with him and with them to see what was happening in this little girl's life. I love God's timing. I have said it for many years, and I believe it with all my heart. God is never ahead of time. God is never behind time. God is always on time. May not be your timing, may not be my timing, but God is always on time. You know, this man that comes with the need of his daughter is really concerned. It tells us that he fell down at the feet of Jesus. I love the way that dad came to Jesus. When he saw Jesus, he quickly bowed down in front of him. He begged him, "My little daughter is dying. Come and lay your hands on her that she might get well." He had faith in Jesus. He did two things. He bowed and expressed his faith. Then he said, "Come and lay your hands on him, on my little girl, so she'll get better." I love Jesus, our teacher. You know, Jesus taught by word. Jesus taught by example. And I love the example of Jesus' teaching when he heard about this 12-year-old girl that was dying. He just says, "I'll go there." So he's going to head over to that town, wherever. He just got off from the boat. He just was rejected on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Here there's a big crowd waiting. He could sit down and teach them words. But he decides to go with this man to his daughter and see what he can do there. That crowd welcomed him. They would as soon as he sat down and taught them. You know, faith in God. Now listen, faith in God includes faith in God's timing. May I say that again? Faith in God includes faith in God's timing. Sometimes I have known, and I have done it myself, that we as Christians sometimes get kind of upset with God, so to speak, or discouraged with him because it doesn't seem to be working out according to our timing. And yet we need to realize that God is saying it's not according to our timing. This interruption of life is caused because a 12-year-old girl was dying. But in that same town, there was an older lady, not old, but older, and she had been suffering for 12 years. I love the way this combination is here. There's this woman, she's been suffering for 12 years. This little girl is 12 years old. That's all the life she's lived. And all of a sudden now she's dying. And evidently Jairus had heard of Jesus and his power to heal. And now Jairus is before Jesus and Jesus is coming to his house. And a great crowd of people is following them. And this lady comes up, we learn about her. Now listen, the interruptions in her life. This sounds like some things we might hear today. In the crowd, there was a woman who had been suffering from a chronic bleeding for 12 years. Although she had been under the care of many doctors, and had spent all of her money, she had not been helped at all. Actually, she had become worse. Since she had heard about Jesus, she came behind him. She came behind in the crowd, and she was going to touch his clothes. Because she said, "If I can just touch the garment of Jesus, I'll get well." And we need to know that's what she has in her mind. The problem this woman was facing for 12 years was a chronic bleeding time. That was huge in that period of time, because in the book of Leviticus, when a person was in this condition, she was considered unclean. She was so much difficulty circumstances surrounding her life. And she was unable to come to Jesus by herself, she felt. Not like Jairus, he comes up and pleads with Jesus. She's at the back of the crowd, and she's very weak, and she's been through a lot in these 12 years. Besides that, she spent all of her money, and she wasn't getting any better. She was getting worse. I believe that what she was going through, she was exhausted physically. I believe she was exhausted emotionally. She was exhausted financially. She was in this crowd of people that was there to hear Jesus talk. And I believe she was really at the back of the crowd. But she's saying in her mind and heart, if I could just touch his garment, I believe I would be healed. I believe that's all it would take. And you know, she has to try to make her way through that crowd to get close enough to touch the garment of the Lord Jesus. And I can just see this dear soul making a little bit of progress. And all of a sudden, she's close enough where she can just reach up and touch his garment. And so she reaches up. Now, reaching up makes me think she was on her hands and knees. She was crawling along the ground at that time, probably because she was so physically exhausted. And she reached and touched his garment. And immediately when she touched his garment, she felt as though the disease was healed. I love the ministry of Jesus. I love the way Jesus worked through the things that he was doing. You know, he was on his way to help a need. A 12-year-old girl was dying. And as he was on the way to meet the need of that little girl, he met the need of this woman that had been suffering for 12 years. That's Jesus, folks. He not only meets the needs, but he meets needs when he's on the road to meet needs. That's pretty special. And I think with that, we'll take a little pause and give my voice a moment. You know, this woman, it said she had many doctors. You know, I think that reason she had many doctors even way back then would be she's looking for a second opinion. But I think she ended up with the second opinion was that she was going to just touch the hem of Jesus' garment. And she would be healed. So we got a song I want us to listen to as I take a little break. The song is telling a second opinion. And it's a story about this. There's a song that's a story about this woman. So let's listen in. I'll be right back in just a few moments.
The doctors had long told her there was no hope to be found. An issue of blood for 12 years had brought her down. But when she knew that Jesus might be passing by that day, she said, I'll go and see him no matter what the doctors say.
I need a second opinion. I think I'll go and ask the Lord. I don't care what the world says, he's the only one that's sure. He knows the end from the beginning. What he says, I know it is. I need a second opinion, so I think I'll go with him.
His lifeless body and laid Lazarus in the tomb. No one could deny the fact her brother's life was through.
The mourners were assembled. They cried, Lazarus is dead. But Martha, she saw Jesus, and then she ran to him instead.
I need a second opinion. I think I'll go and ask the Lord. I don't care what the world says. He's the only one that's sure. He knows the end from the beginning. What he says, I know is. I need a second opinion, so I think I'll go with his.
My life was dark and empty, so diseased and broken down. My dreams had all been shattered, left in pieces on the ground. The enemy kept saying, life will go from bad to worse. I said, that's your opinion, but yours is just the first.
I need a second opinion. I think I'll go and ask the Lord. I don't care what the world says. He knows the end from the beginning. What he says, I know it is. I need a second opinion, so I think I'll go with this. He knows the end from the beginning. What he says, I know it is.
Don't you think today we need a second opinion? We need an opinion of what God has to say. And that's what this woman was about to do. She was looking forward to the healing because the doctors couldn't help her. But she had in her heart by faith, if I can just touch the garment, I don't need to talk to him. He don't need to come to my house. He don't need to stop and lay his hands on me. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, or touch his cloth, I'll be healed. By the way, that was true. I don't know if she had heard that or not. Because they were talking about Jesus and he would be in places. People would just come and touch his clothing and they would be healed. And so she works her way up. And finally she touches the hem of his garment. And you know what it does to Jesus? It makes him stop. The teacher pauses. You know, we have to remind ourselves, Jesus is the teacher. We are to be his student. Jesus is the teacher. We need to learn from the teacher. Let me read it for you in the book of Mark, chapter 5, 45 through 49. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, the disciples, "Master, the multitude throngs and press you, and you say, who touched me?" Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive their power going out from me." Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and fell down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And I love what Jesus did to her. He said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." That dear lady hadn't had peace for 12 years. Pretty difficult. And now she just touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And she's ready to go in peace. While Jesus was still speaking to this woman, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house and saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Your daughter has died. Healing the woman took some time out of Jesus' life, took something out of Jesus' life. This is the rule of life. Have you noticed? Anything you commit to, anything you get involved in a work for God, you also need to know it's going to take something out of your life. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something to be able to do the things that you want to do for God. It means that you have to get up earlier, or maybe you have to stay up later, or maybe you have to travel the second mile. It is a lesson time for the disciples when Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" And then Peter answered for the whole disciple group, I think. He said, "Master, a multitude of people are following you." They looked at the throng. They looked at that great crowd of people. And they said, "Somebody just bumped you, Jesus. Why do you ask who touched me?" You know, probably they had been bumped themselves. You can't walk in a crowd without getting bumped. But Jesus knew. He knew it was something different than that. When Jesus had asked, "Who touched me?" the disciples immediately thought of the crowd. When Jesus asked the question, "Who touched me?" he's thinking of an individual. The disciples are thinking, "Somebody just bumped you, Jesus." Jesus is thinking, "No, an individual touched me because I felt power go out of my body, out of my body. Somebody has been healed." I believe Jesus knew. I believe he knew without a shadow of a doubt that the person who touched him needed to confess. You know what, folks? It's not good just to take from God. You remember the story of the 10 lepers? They came crying to Jesus for help. Jesus said, "Go show yourself to the priest. Time you get there, you'll be healed." They started to walk, and one of them noticed he's healed already. And he was the only one of the 10 that returned to tell Jesus thank you as he bowed down before him. God's Son said, Jesus said, "Wasn't the 10 healed? Did only 9 were kept right on going? And only this one, and he's a Samaritan? And he returns to give thanks?" Meaning maybe the other 9 were Jewish, and they didn't even take time to thank Jesus. Jesus knows that there's going to be a blessing in this woman's life if she confesses that she's the one that touched me. So Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And you know, as he did that, Jesus was thinking of an individual. And all of a sudden, she came trembling. She fell down before him. She told him, "I'm the one that touched you." And she told him why she touched him. "I've been sick all this time. And the moment I touched your garment, I was healed." Now listen, folks, this is something that I believe with all my heart. When you come back to express thanks to God, it's going to mean a bigger blessing in your life. I want you to think with me for a few moments what this woman would have missed if she hadn't told Jesus she was the one that touched him. She could have gone on that way, but she decided in fear and trembling to tell Jesus, "I'm the one that touched you, and I was healed." Jesus said to her, "Daughter," can you imagine that? What's Jesus on his way to do, folks? He's on his way to help a daughter of the Jewish synagogue leader who's dying. And on the way, this woman is healed. And he's taken time to give her an opportunity to come and let him know that she was the one that was healed. And when she did, he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. I can't imagine that woman that I just told you about a few moments ago, who was so discouraged because she was seeing all the doctors and wasn't getting any better. She was getting worse. She'd spent all of her money, didn't have money left to spend. And nevertheless, when she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, she was healed. And now she's had a blessing upon her life. You and I need that blessing. I'm going to say this, and I believe it with all my heart. I believe when we don't return to tell God thank you for something he's done in our life, we miss a blessing. We miss a blessing. I wonder how many times in the days that lie ahead that woman heard the words that Jesus said, "Daughter, go in good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Go in peace." But this disruption was painful to the man who come to talk to Jesus in the first place. And now this stopping and finding out who touched me and all that stuff. On the heels of that, it was heard these words to Jairus, the synagogue leaders whose daughter was dying. "Your daughter is dead." While Jesus was speaking to her, some people came from the synagogue leader's home. They told the synagogue leader, "Your daughter has died. Why bother the teacher anymore? No need in him coming." When Jesus overheard that they had said that what they told the synagogue leader, he said to him, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." Jesus allowed no one to go with him except Peter and two brothers, James and John. And when he came to the house of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a noisy crowd there. People were crying and sobbing loudly. When he came into the house, he asked them, "Why are you making so much noise and crying? The child isn't dead. She's just sleeping." And they laughed at Jesus. So he made all of them go outside. Then he took the child's father, the child's mother, and his three disciples, Peter, James, and John, and they went into the room where the child was. The words that no parent ever wants to hear. "Your child is dead." She could have been helped. She was so close to Jesus being there. But that interruption along the road caused her to have time to die. Now we need to be a student of the Word of God. We need to let the teacher teach us. They're saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore. He might as well go on and do something else." But Jesus talks to the dad. And I love his words to the dad. They're just as powerful as the words were to the woman who was healed. "Don't be afraid. Just believe. Don't be afraid. Just believe." Maybe you need that this morning. Don't be afraid. Just believe. In this COVID-19 thing that we've been going through, maybe we need to hear that. Don't be afraid. Just believe. And that word must, as I talked a moment ago about that word daughter coming back to this woman, all the rest of the journey as they traveled there, I believe that words must have been in that man's mind and heart. Don't be afraid, just believe. And they came to the house. And his dead daughter is inside. It was a place of great grief. People were crying. And they were sobbing loudly. When Jesus came, he said, "What are you crying for? She's not dead. She's asleep. And they laughed at him. You know, I like that idea of Jesus saying, what are you crying for? You know why? Move forward, fast forward a little bit in the life of Jesus. He had been crucified. He had been buried. He had resurrected. And Mary, one of the women, was coming to make his body more ready for burial. And when she found out, when she got there, the tomb was empty. She saw Jesus and she thought he was a gardener. And she said to him, where have you taken the body? And Jesus said to her, Mary, why are you crying? Why are you crying? He said to her. And she said, somebody stole the body of Jesus. And Jesus simply said this, Mary, Jesus sees the individual. God sees your need. He saw the individual in this woman. He saw the individual in this man. He's going to now show us the individual in this little girl that's dying. She's already gone. But when Jesus first heard about it, she was only dying. Now she's dead. Jesus said she's asleep because death often is referred to as being asleep. Mark 5:40-43. The child isn't dead. She's just asleep. They laughed at him, so he made them go outside. Then he took the child, the father, the mother, and the three disciples, Peter, James, and John. Now listen to what he did. It was no big spectacular thing. Jesus took the child's hand, and he said to her some words that I can't pronounce, which means, little girl, I tell you, get up. Little girl, I tell you, get up. She was 12 years old. And she stood up at once and started walking. Can you imagine what that was? As Jesus, now the teacher, is demonstrating his power that he has over death itself. Can you imagine what that was to the mom and dad? Can you imagine what that was to the 12-year-old girl? Can you imagine what that was for Peter, James, and John? Sometimes God teaches us lessons through the things that we're going through. And that's what I'm saying this morning. The realization that these kinds of interruptions in our life can be a growing experience, can be a time when you and I will really move forward in our life as an individual. And we need to get a hold of that. One of the first things that comes to my attention is that the woman that caused the interruption of Jesus to get to this home in time before this girl died, that touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and then how Jesus says to her when he gets her by the hand, that woman touched the garment of Jesus. Jesus touched the hand of that little girl. Jesus was a toucher. You know what? Jesus touched the untouchable. He would touch lepers and heal them. He would touch those that were blind. He would touch those that were deaf. One day when he was coming into one town, he touched a burial procession where there was a young man in it that was being taken to the cemetery. And Jesus touched that coffin and brought the young man back to life. I believe we both need today the touch of God. And we need to know that we touch God. You know what really touches the heart of God? Is when he sees our need. You know one of the words that's used to describe that about Jesus? Jesus one day has said, when there is a large crowd of people, and when Jesus seen a large crowd, he saw individuals. And this is what he said. Jesus had compassion upon them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus doesn't see the crowd. He sees the individuals that make up the crowd. He's seen this individual woman and her need. He's seen this dad and mother and their need. He sees the disciples and their need to know who this one Jesus really is. I believe that's so important. And you know what? Through this period of time, and I'll just wrap up with this, there's been so much death. And we've heard every night when we listen to the news, we hear about the numbers that have died because of COVID-19. And I need to tell you, folks, you've heard more about death in these last 4 months or so than you probably had heard about in a lot of times. And we need to know that God is saying to us, He's the answer to death. I love the verse when Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he would dead, yet shall he live. Let's have faith in him. Got a song I want us to listen to, and this song is reminding us of the need of having faith in God, but also realizing many people in the past have gone through a lot. God bless you. Thank you for letting me share with you.
To your question, but don't trust my opinion alone. You should ask the host of others, sisters and brothers who've been there, and their stories live on.
Just ask the woman.
To do the same.